Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to a fellow that's well known around these parts. He's one half of the singing group The Moron Brothers, but we're not going to talk about that. His name is Mike Hammond. We're going to talk about his family and particularly his dad, Buddy, who is a police chief here in Nicholasville. We'll do that and more right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things in our county. Well, today we're going to talk to a fellow who we have actually talked to before about something else. He is one half of the Moron Brothers singing group. I guess it makes you half a moron.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Hammond is with us, and you and Mike Carr were on our program quite a while ago about that. And we'll mention that, but that's not the main reason you're here today. I wanted him to come in today to tell us a little more about the Hammond family, because his dad was involved in law enforcement here in Jessamine County, and a lot of his family's been involved in a lot of other things. So, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Morning.
You've got a pretty good-sized family, and I want to focus a lot on your dad, your mom too, but your dad especially. But I guess the best way to start is, let's talk about how he got here, maybe who his parents were. Were they always from here? Tell us about the Hammond side.
All right. His daddy was James Beverly Hammond, and I think he might have come from around Versailles, Woodford County, some of them. And then his mama was Minnie Reed, and her family, Reeds, John T. Reed. And
from here?
Yeah, and Eugene Reed, that was mail carrier for years.
Yeah, you were. Really?
Yeah.
So your grandmother was related to them?
Yeah, sister to all them.
Well, I didn't know that. I've learned something new already.
And which their daddy was police chief for years before I was born, I don't know what year, but he was police chief years ago.
Of Nicholasville.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
That would have been a Reed.
Yeah.
So that's on your grandmother's, your dad's mom's side.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, how the Hammonds made it to Jessamine.
I think so.
All right, so they have...
They run them out of whatever county they was in.
And then brought them here.
Yeah, right here.
We were the only ones that
there
kept
you go,
them.
Yeah.
Now, your dad, how many brothers and sisters were there in that family?
He had one brother, Marion Hammond.
Right.
And Marion, he just passed away here a couple months ago. He was 98 years old.
Wow.
And he was a painter, union painter, and everybody knew Marion. Then he had a sister named Dorothy, and she was married to O.L. Miller. And they own that bottom down where you go to Glenn Young's landscaping down,
yeah,
Mill Street.
Yeah.
Well, down past there, them houses, they own that down in there, and that's where they lived.
All right. And your dad, was he born and raised here, though?
Yeah.
In this county?
Yeah.
So he would have went to Nicholasville schools.
Yeah. All the way through third grade.
Is he, did he make it to third? Yeah.
Said he had trouble learning them ABDs.
The C just couldn't catch on.
No.
Did he actually finish, though?
No. I think about eighth grade or
okay,
something.
And a lot of people back in those,
yep,
days did. Now, were they? Was his daddy on the farm?
His daddy worked for the railroad, and now he raised tobacco and stuff, but different placing, little places around. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, you know where Stratton Lumber is?
Mm-hmm.
The railroad owned that, mm-hmm, and my granddaddy and grandmother, they lived there, and it was almost like a small farm.
Really?
They had a big house and a barn, and he had a... I know he had a big garden and stuff, and it run all the way down to the back there where the Bowling Alley Nursing Home,
yeah,
that area.
Yeah.
They lived there, but Daddy, I know they lived several places. The big brick house on the corner of Macaulay Pike and 68, mm-hmm, the big knife,
mm-hmm,
they lived there at one time, and
mm-hmm,
he farmed that, his daddy did. And then, they, a matter of fact, I got a house now across the street from me on 4th Street that when Daddy and Marion were overseas in the war,
mm-hmm,
My grandmother and granddad lived in this house that I bought across the street, and Mildred, Marion's wife,
right,
and Gene, their oldest son, he was little, they lived there with them. And I tell you a little story about that. This is kind of interesting. When I was tearing that house, gutting it, you know,
right,
I was hoping I'd, you know, how people back in them days would keep receipts and old money stuff in cans. I said, boy, I wish I could find a little tin can with just a little something, keepsake, nothing special. Just So one day I was tearing the wall out by the fireplace, and on one side they had a closet. Well, in the other room, on the other side, it was boxed in. I said, well, I wonder why that's boxed in. Why didn't they make a closet there, too? So I got to looking. Well, I tore it out, started to plaster and all that, and I seen something in it. Well, I shined a flashlight, and it was covered with that old cold soot stuff, you know. It was a human skeleton sitting there. This was on the news. It'd been 10 years ago. But a human skeleton sitting in the floor of that little old space. And I said, man, what in the world, you know? So I went out on the porch, and wasn't nobody home, nobody around. I said, I went back in there and shined a light, and I said, that's a human skeleton. So I called the down police station, told them, you know, I said, well, I don't know if y'all sent somebody or what. They come, they call the coroner. Coroner called the state police, forensics people. They had a bunch of people over, had it roped off. Well, it had a chain around his neck, like a gold little thing, and had a gold-looking medallion. I thought, that's my medallion. That could be the gold of mine, my house. So they was real careful, and they brushed it off to see if maybe there's a name and anything on it to give them a clue, you know. So they brushed it off and whatnot. So they took a little thing, flipped it over, and they brushed it off. And it was a gold medallion, and it said 1914 hide-and-seek champion.
That's how this whole interview is going to go, isn't it? Jeez. Well.
But I had you for a minute.
You had me for several minutes.
You ain't the first one.
Okay, all right. So they live on 4th Street at some point with the hide-and-seek champion.
There
now,
your
dad, he gets out of school at 8th grade. At some point in time, he does a couple of things. You mentioned he was in the service, but we also know that he caught the eye of this lady, your mom.
Yeah.
Now, which came first?
Well, the story they told me was over at the elementary school.
Yeah.
He's used to... Everybody around that area there would go to the schoolyard of an evening.
Yeah.
And you might remember her sister, Hazel Barnes, Bridget, we called her, but married Philip Barnes. He was a maintenance man. He did all their maintenance. His daddy started, was a custodian at the old school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Philip come along and worked with him. And then, of course, Philip got into doing more of the maintenance. And he worked like 40 years or something with him. But anyway, Philip told Bridget, said, Philip, say, I'm going to walk over at the schoolyard and see if that little Hammond boy over there, because he liked daddy. And anyways, Mama said the first time that she met him, that he run into her and knocked her down on the schoolyard. So
they were young.
They was teenage, or, you know.
Yeah.
On the, and so, but she said that's the way they met. He run into her and knocked her down on the school ground. So they wind up. Getting married, I don't know.
Now, was he in the service before that or after?
No,
that?
After.
After.
No,
that.
They got married in, I guess, a couple of years or something. And then he was getting drafted, and Bobby was born, the oldest son, brother, and he was born, so daddy got a deferment for a couple of months or something because of that.
Yeah.
And then he went.
Okay. At that time, what was he doing for a living?
First, started working, he worked with my granddaddy. He had that on the railroad. He worked on it a lot. And then when he met Mama's daddy, Bob Sally from Wilmore, was a bricklayer. And he started learning how to lay brick. He worked with my grandpa on them. And then he went to the service in the war. And when he come back, he went back to laying brick.
Yeah. You mentioned Bobby. Well, that's a good place to talk about all the kids. So Bobby was the firstborn.
He was the first.
Tell us when we go down the line here, give me a quick synopsis about each one and maybe who they married and who the kids are and what they did so
all
people
right.
recognize. Let's start with Bobby.
Now, Bobby, he was the first one. And his first wife was Janice Hager, Clayton Hager's daughter. And they had three children that Tammy, Tony, and Cindy. And he had some more wives, but he had a couple. I had a couple sister-in-law I never did meet.
Never did.
but and he worked on TVs years ago, worked for Tommy Masters TV and Appliances in Lexington. And Man, for years he took care of these two laundromats down here for mm-hmm. the people that own them and one in Lexington and worked on appliances. Mm-hmm. He'd done a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So he was the oldest.
He's the oldest.
Who's next?
Ronnie.
Ronnie. Tell us about Ronnie.
Ronnie married Peggy Scott, and they got Spencer and Marla, little Ron, and little Joe. Mm-hmm. Ronnie, he went in the Navy and spent 4 years, come home, went to work for the Lexington Police Department, mm-hmm. city, the mm-hmm. city police. Mm-hmm. And he stayed on there for a while, and then he moved, came down back down there and went to work at the city. Litchfield Police.
How many of the kids are there?
Oh, there's 25, 30.
That you can remember.
Right now, I'm hoping I can remember. Let's see.
Well, we got first two.
All right, then there was a sister, Linda.
Linda's next, okay.
And she Linda. Was born for me. She was about close to 2 years old and got the whooping cough and died from the whooping cough.
When she was two?
Yeah, right around
somewhere
two.
Somewhere in there, okay.
There was several, I think, from around here at that time.
Yeah, that happened a lot during that time.
Well, matter of fact, I remember Mama said that I was at the hospital. Now, back in, they wouldn't let you stay at the hospital. You know, you had to leave.
That's right.
When they had given her a shot or something and told them that she's going to be okay, thought she'd be okay, come on home.
Yeah.
When they got home, they got a phone call that she died.
Wow.
So, you know, how you can imagine what that did.
Well, that's terrible. And then she was the oldest and first girl.
Yeah, first girl.
All right. So after Linda?
There was me. Was
that was you.
Yeah, me and the dud. All right. The only dud, I guess.
Now, I'll go into you in just a minute. Right, let's skip over you a minute. Who's the next one down?
Marilyn.
All right. Talk about Marilyn.
Marilyn married Terry Weber. They had Jeff mm-hmm. and Fran. Mm-hmm. And a little quick story about Fran here. Fran got sick when she was in third grade, or before she started school. And then it came back on her, I think, in the third grade, mm-hmm. and she was wanting a little Pekingese dog. And somebody called in to Bill Laney at mm-hmm. the WNVL radio station and told him that, you know, she was going for this surgery and she'd like to have a little Pekingese dog. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody, I think it was Vernon Burt, I think he first called in and said he didn't have a dog, but he'd donate $10 or something for
to
a
buy
dog.
One.
Well, the phone kept ringing, and before the days over, I don't know how much money they raised for her, but Fran, she was a tough little gal, and she was a sweetheart.
Yeah, sure.
And she was a miracle child because it was a message brought forth at church one night. They prayed for her that she's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Well, that little girl that they told them that wouldn't probably may not start school and went through all them treatments and everything. All her hair fell out, but she had a prettiest head of hair mm-hmm. and lived to be like 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Was big in her church and even had her son that was kind of doing a little preaching.
Yeah.
And so.
She was married to who?
Brad Clark.
Clark. That's right. Fran Clark. Yeah.
And Jeff works for Glenn Young Landscaping. Right. He married a Chrissy down at the bank.
Downtown Square Bank, that's right. So that's Marilyn's too.
That's Marilyn.
Who was next?
Debbie. Now, Debbie was first married to Kenny Locker. Mm-hmm. And they had two girls. There go my mind.
Well.
I knew I should have took him pills before I come down here.
or wrote it down.
Let's see. They just did Carrie.
That's all right.
And John Etta. All right, I got it. I'm going to make sure they don't listen to this. And so Kenny wound up getting killed in a car wreck up here on Main Street. Mm-hmm. And his mom and daddy, you knew them, Ruth and Buck Locker.
Live across the street
from you. Yeah, Miss Locker, she's still over. I think
Is she still there?
I think she's 90-year-old or something. And
oh, bless her heart.
I took her a whole bag full of Walmart pies here.
It's funny because we could go into all kinds of family trees here, but now she's got a daughter that married the Reed, Mark.
Yep.
Was he related to you through your mom or through your dad's mother?
Yeah.
Okay. But Miss Locker, she's a sweetie.
Yeah, right? She is.
Yeah. So, Debbie, did she remarry after Kenny died?
Yeah, okay. I married Eddie Ward.
Yeah.
Eddie worked from Lone High to be a truck driver.
Yeah.
And they married. She had little Eddie and Megan.
Okay.
And by him, and they had to move to Nashville. He got transferred down there, and they're still down in Nashville.
Still in Nashville.
And Eddie just retired. I think Eddie's about 67-year-old, and he just retired about a month ago.
Well, she's the only one not here, isn't she? Because the rest of you guys are still here.
Yeah.
Who's after Debbie?
Let me see. Danny.
Danny was next. I think we're getting toward the end. I think there's one more. All right, Danny.
Yeah. He married Glenda Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a little daughter, Chrissy. Danny works for the city, and he worked for Food Town for a long time.
Yes, he did.
And then he went to work for a place in Lexington, a food warehouse up there, one of them places. Mm-hmm. And stayed up there for a few years, and then he finally got on with the city, worked for the city street department down there.
Right. Been there quite a while.
Yeah.
But the baby... And he's next, right?
The ugly one.
The one that was smart enough to start working for the city quick, retired fast.
Yes, he did.
Tell us about Jimmy.
Jimmy is the youngest, and he married Deb.
Mm-hmm. And she was a Sturgill.
Sturgill. There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
And she had a son, John. You know John. Mm-hmm. And then they got one, Brian, of their own, and Deb worked for the city for years, a clerk up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jimmy worked for the electric department.
Mm-hmm.
And he still worked around town doing electric work.
Right.
And I think that's the crop.
I think that's all. Well, we talked about all of them. We told about their spouses and their kids, but we skipped over you. So talk to me about Pat, the boss, and all the youngins running around.
Well, the way we got hooked up, she lived around the corner from us. We lived on Brown Street, and she lived up around on Fifth Street. Her mom and daddy is Bobby Shelton and Cricket Shelton.
Right.
And so, anyway, her and her sister used to come down to the house to see my sister, younger sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew who it was and all. But anyway, it went on a few years there, and I got out of high school mid-year, my senior. I was only 17. I had enough credit to get out, so I left mid-year, and they opened the Minute Mart up on top of the Milton Wilson store.
Mm-hmm. And pawn shop right now, I think.
And I couldn't get a job, no work, I was just 17, and so they opened that, and I got a job up there. And a little old boy that worked up there, one I had a little old gal friend down there, and it was, Charlie Esposito?
Yeah, used to work at WNVL.
Yeah, and he had the sock hops or something.
Right.
The little sock hops up there.
On the second floor,
Well, here we go. And she'll kill me for telling this, but anyway.
How long have you been married?
What?
How long have you been married?
A long time.
Do you know?
Yes.
She ain't killed you yet.
If you take it now, in 1969 was the magic year.
She ain't killed you yet, so I don't know that you got to worry too much about it.
1969 was a magic year, and you'll have to do the math on that.
Well, let's see how that's 31 years and 17, 48. Man, you're getting close to the 50 mark.
Yeah, half a hundred.
If she ain't killed you, but now she ain't going.
Well, I heard her tell some other day she didn't know what happiness was till she married me. Then it's too late.
What did tell us about Pat? You met at the sock hop.
Yeah. I seen her, and I was there. She had them big brown eyes and that big pretty smile.
Yeah, that did it.
And I said, daggone. And she told me who she was, and I said, no, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I know her. She's a little bitty old gal. But anyway, that's what hooked us up. She flashed them brown eyes and that smile at me, and I was hooked forever.
Well, tell us about your kids.
All right, then. I got three. We got Angie.
Right.
She married Joey Davis.
And she works the county clerk's office.
Worked for Johnny College. Started out working for Evan.
Right.
Now she's working for Johnny. And
before you go on, tell her how many kids she's got.
She got Courtney and Bethany.
All right.
And she got two little grandkids, Katie and Tojo.
All right.
Or Christian, they call him. I call him Tojo. And
now that's Angie.
Yep. And Bethany, you know Bethany, Courtney's a hairdresser. She went to school and got her hairdresser license. And Bethany was, you know, she was a big sports.
Right.
She still plans. She was, I don't tie it like for second place in the state for home runs back in and all that. And she's still playing ball. She got her master's down at Cumberland College and is working for an outfit in Lexington, kind of accountant, and she's taking her test for CPA.
Good, good.
And she's really done good. And then let's see.
And you had a boy come along.
Yeah.
Who's the oldest, Chad or Mike?
Mike. Brother, we call him brother.
So he's the second one.
He's the second.
Is he a junior?
No.
Okay.
He's a name. His dad is. Her dad's name was Robert. So named him Robert Michael.
Okay. Tell us about what he does.
Well, he was growing up. He played football. He was a great football player, tackle. Then he got out of there, and he was in the Army Reserves for a while. And then he started plumbing for his papa. Bob Shelton, and Jimmy Adams, and he's got his own business. They retired, and him and Jimmy worked for a while together, and then Jimmy, you know, got sick and had to quit, and so he's got his own business, and he does a lot of plumbing. Well, he's done some right across the street here this next to your office, I think.
Yeah, he did.
He's got a little boy, Reed, they call him, but he went yesterday. I think he went yesterday, Reed won 3 awards at school yesterday. Perfect grades and perfect attendance, and I think the cafeteria award. Cleaning his plate better than anybody else.
You probably won that a couple
times. I did, too. I like that cafeteria. That was my favorite class.
Yeah, me too. Now, your young boy, he also owns his own business. Tell us about Chad.
Chad, he come along last, and when he was 9 years old, said his shin was hurting. And so wound up, we took him up there to Dr. Royce, and it was his hip. And he had surgery on his hip, had pins put in it and all. Mm-hmm. So he got over that. And so he played baseball, Little League. I played a year, Babe Ruth. I think Little League. And he was big in ball cards. He always had a knack for making money somehow or another. He didn't get that from me. But we take him up to the National Guard Armory on a weekend, and he'd deal in them baseball cards, and he'd make $400 or $500 on a weekend dealing with baseball cards.
Wow.
He's got a landscape. He went to work the wall for Glenn Young, I think, down there a little bit. And then he went to Trim Masters when it opened. He left there and went to Adcom, and he worked toward Adcom, and he wound up, he liked that landscaping.
Yeah.
So he got a couple of jobs, made a little money, so that's what he wanted to do. So he went in landscape business, and he got his place down here on 27 at Lunsford.
Terry
Lunsford. His place down there.
Yeah. And done real well in that landscaping. Yeah.
And he married Tammy Hay, Roger Hay, Roger and Brenda Hay's daughter, and they got two boys, Lucas and Levi. Now, Lucas is a cancer survivor himself, but he's an artist. He can draw. He kind of like your daddy was. Somebody said he's going to be the next hired fan in Jefferson County.
That'd be all right.
And he draw. He can draw pictures, and he played ball and baseball. He was good. He's knocked a bunch of home runs. And he was a pitcher, and he played football last year. I don't think he's fooling with it this year. And then Levi is, I think, 9, and he plays football, basketball, baseball. We just went Sunday over at Garrett County. He'd been playing Little League football up on the hill, I don't think he'd won but one game all year. And he wound up going over and won the championship.
Wow, so good.
I guess it don't matter till the end.
That's right. There's only one game matters, and that's the one that wins it all.
Yeah. The wives, you know, she drove school bus for 30
what
years.
What did you do for all them years?
I was a secret agent for the federal government. But no tunnel bash.
No, because it's a secret.
Yeah. Well, I was working up there at that little store. And my dream was always to go work for IBM.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to do. But
half of Jefferson County did. Yeah. Why didn't you?
Well, I probably wouldn't have got in no way. They probably would have. I couldn't pass the test. But I worked up at that little store.
Yeah.
And every day, morning sometime, these guys would come in and go into Laxton to work and, you mm-hmm. know, construction work, plumbers and carpenters. Mm-hmm. And they'd come in there, and then they'd jump in their trucks and take off. They'd get some snacks and stuff. And then they'd come in that evening, stop and get them a Pepsi or something, and they'd be all dirty and had their shirt off, suntan, working out in that sun. And I said, man, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So my father-in-law, I wasn't married then, but he worked for Chester Perkins.
Oh, yeah.
Plumber. Willie Wayne, you know them.
Oh, yeah.
He worked for him, so he hired me, went to work plumbing. And I did that for about then a year we got married. And then the Vietnam was going on, of course, but they had the draft. I turned 19 in October. They had the draft lottery in November, and I won it. And I turned 19 in October, got examined in November, had the draft lottery in December, and I won it, and I got my letter the second day of January. But I was wanting to take this plumbing test. I got a deferment, so I could go take a mm-hmm. test in February. Mm-hmm. And, well, in the meantime, her uncle, R.G. Young, he had retired from the Air Force. And R.G. talked to him about, well, I went in with the intention of spending 20 years in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But things just didn't work out for me. But anyway, so.
Did you go to NOM?
No, I went to Thailand. I was in Homestead, Florida. I was a bomb weapon mechanic. I loaded bombs on F-4 fighters. Mm-hmm. So I went to Homestead, Florida for 18 months. And I said, you know, I'm gonna go and get this over with. So me and a buddy of mine, we went over, signed up for Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Get it over with. Mm-hmm. Well, he got orders to Vietnam, and I got orders to Philippine Islands, Clark Air Base. Mm. So, but when I got there, I was there about to went TDY to Thailand, Udorn, Thailand, and loaded bombs. They flew bombs from there to Vietnam.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in Nam. Spent 4 years in there and come back home. Went back to work plumbing for Chester. Worked for him. Well, at one time, before I went into service, I worked a little off for Dunn and Dunaway. Remember Bobby Dunaway?
Sure.
Jeff and plumbing. Well, him and a guy named Towton Dunn had an outfit in Lancaster, a big outfit. Mm-hmm. And I worked for them for, I don't know, probably six months, something. And when I come back, went back to work for Chester. Then I went to work for a plumbing company named Earl Tipton, E.B. Tipton Plumbing. And he's the best man I ever worked for in my life. He was just a good feller. Mm-hmm. And it was a small outfit. And a guy told me about the federal prison out on East Town Road. They needed a plumbing foreman. And so I got the job. And I spent 20 years working at the federal prison on Leestown Road.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be called the old narcotic farm.
But. Yeah. Now, since your retirement, and I will urge people to go to our podcast website and listen to the interview we did with you and the other Mike on the Moron Brothers. You've done that. Fill your time traveling around. I want to ask you one quick question about that because we need to get into your dad and the whole reason we're even talking. Tell me real quick about what's going on right now with this new song you all have got out.
Well, you heard about the football players kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care what they do. They got the rights and all, and I don't care if they do it at the 50-yard line before it and after it.
Mm-hmm.
But during it ain't the right time. Mm-hmm. I don't care who y'all, where you come from, it ain't the right time. So, anyway, a lot of people's talking about it, so – of course, Lord O can write a song, Mike Carr. He can write a song like writing a letter.
He could. You know, I was thinking this morning, knowing you was coming in, I believe that you could set any object or anything down in front of him, and he could write a song
he
about
could.
It. Anything.
Ain't a doubt in my mind.
It's amazing.
The one about taps that we did, a fella read that at church one morning, and I said, man, that's got the story of taps. Mm-hmm. I said, that's got to be a song or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you got to make it rhyme, and I know who can do it. So I took it to Lord O, and he said, I get to him, and he said, man, that's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. I said, you need to put it to rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
So he did. We put a little music behind it, and we close every show with it, and we have people crying when it's over, you know.
Well, this one here. What's it called first?
Never Take a Knee.
Never Take a Knee. And from what I understand, in fact, from your daughter, this thing has absolutely grown legs and is wildfire on the internet right now.
Well, we got a feller that's been doing a lot of stuff for on Facebook and stuff, computer guy, Scott Moore. Mm-hmm. He used to be the director of Kentucky Field. He did all the camera work for Kentucky Field. Okay. And he started working with us and trying to get more stuff on the internet, because we don't know nothing about no internet. Lardo wrote this song about never take away what happened. Bama, Scott, he goes to Clay's Mill Baptist Church. You know Brother Fugate?
I heard of him.
Well, everybody knows Brother Fugate. But anyway, every time he got a protest, he wants Lardo to write a song. He sends word to one. When the governor here a few years ago said they're going to call the Christmas tree a holiday tree, he didn't like that neither. So he got Lardo to write a tree about he never seen a holiday tree.
Yep.
But anyway, and we all went to Frankfort Courthouse or the Capitol steps and protested and sung that song with the Clay Mill Baptist Church book. So he told Mama, said he wanted a song. He's going to preach a sermon, and he wanted a song about this kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah.
I said, you tell Mike Carr that God said he better write a song. So he got on it, and he wrote it, and we did it first time live Saturday night at Renfro Valley, and he got a standing ovation. And we had a room full of people there, too. And he stabbed me last night. He done had two guys call him from Nashville wanting to write songs with them.
Wow, he's good.
He is.
Now, again, if you want to go to my podcast page, it's real easy, dougfane.podbean.com. Just search Moron Brothers, and you can hear the history of that. That's a whole show in itself. I want to talk a little bit about your dad because – you know, in addition to raising these eight kids along with your mother, how did he get interested? Because he was our police chief here in Nicholasville at some point in time. How did he get interested in doing that?
Well, I remember I was in the first or second grade. I think it was 57 or 8 is when he first got on there. And it wasn't like five cops, you know.
Yeah, it was small. Would it have been, can you remember any of those people? Pat Burton around then?
No, not then.
That was before
Ray
Pat.
Fain was the chief.
Dickie's dad.
Yeah.
Dickie Fain's dad, yeah.
Ray Fain, he was the chief, and Bob Bruner was assistant chief.
Let's think here. That was Jerry's dad, too, right?
Yeah. Harold Floyd's wife, wasn't it?
She was
Norma Jean.
Norma was a daughter to Ray Fain, yes.
Yeah.
Now, who was the assistant chief you just said?
Bob Bruner.
And he went on to become chief.
Yeah, he went on to become.
Okay, all right.
But at that time, the best I remember, I know Bob Bruner and Cooper Wilhoit, and there was a fella named Anderson.
Cooper Wilhoit. I hadn't heard that name long ago. Okay, I'm sorry.
Here's the deal. Daddy used to tell a story about when he first went to work on the police department. He asked Mr. Wilhoit, said, Mr. Wilhoit, said, what exactly does breach of peace cover? He said, brother, it cover anything from spitting on the sidewalk to murder. And that's the way it was back then.
That's the way it was. Yeah. So you've mentioned so far three, I think, policemen, Wilhoit, Bruner, and Fain. Your daddy was one of those. Who?
Bill Bowman.
And that was probably it, wasn't it?
Yeah, back then.
Yeah.
Mr. Bowman, I think, was on there then when he started. Buck Bowman and Jimmy Bowman's granddaddy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about four or five. And I had a picture I was going to bring. Had some
and, of course, one thing we want to mention, Mike, is back when you're talking about in the city proper, there was probably only around, 4,000 people maybe?
I don't know if it's that
may
many.
May not have been that much.
It seemed to me like I remember the sign out there saying 1,900 and
something. It may have been.
And, but see, it only went to up about where at Parts Place, the car wash.
Yeah, yeah.
Just this side of the car wash North Main.
Lakeview Motel sits there.
And out here at the post office on south was the city limits.
I guess Skidmore's would have been the south end of town, wouldn't it?
Of course, back in, all those counties across the river were dry.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the last county you could get, you know. And we knew when he was working evening shift on Friday or Saturday that he going to come home and it doesn't have a story because they get so many. You know how it used to be. I mean, beer joints downtown be full.
But back then, I mean, there wasn't any I-75. Everybody went south, had to come right down through here, 27 on Main. Right. And so that was, I guess, was it the last chance before the state line?
Wasn't well, I don't know, but it could have been.
I think somebody told me it was dry all the way from here to Tennessee.
It could have been, because I know, you know, Danville and well, they used to call this little Chicago. I heard a bunch of them. I'd run in people somewhere from Harrisburg or Danville. Like, it's all, you live over at little Chicago. But it used to be, you know, on Friday and Saturday nights, he'd be
hopping.
Yeah.
Now, did your dad just decide, that's a good job, I'll just do that?
I don't know. I guess he liked it. You know, it's just, you couldn't pay me enough money to be a cop.
Oh, me
either. There ain't no
me
way.
Me either.
Everybody's cut out for something different.
That's right.
But, you know, the bricklaying, he did he got to worry, I guess it was hard on laying brick. But
sure, sure.
But, you know, he was on there. We were, matter of fact, one time on a house on the corner of Hickory Hill and Wheel Lane.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Wheel Lane was a little dirt lane, little dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
And Hickory Hill and Wheel Lane, that white brick out, Frank Bishop had it built. Cleveland Thompson built it for Frank Bishop. And
sold insurance.
Daddy, and he was a corner then.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
Yep. And Daddy was bricking it. Me and Ronnie was mixing mortar and carried brick. We worked all summer. Daddy worked at night on the police department and laid brick during the day. And we were on a scaffold. He was on the scaffold over one day, and somebody, I can't remember who it was, pulled up in front of the, and hollered for him at the mayor called and said to go over and get him. They's having trouble with a couple down here in one of the beer joints. This was in the middle afternoon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he got down off the scaffold and got in the car with them, went down there and helped them put these two in jail.
And then come back.
And then come back. And,
and that's what you did.
Yeah.
That's what you did. That's the way it was. Now, you mentioned at the time, Fain was a chief. Ray Fain, F-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah.
Me and Dickie often kid each other. We don't neither know how to spell our names right. Then you went to Bob Bruner. Now, so did your dad just keep going up the ladder? Is that how it came for him?
Well, no. Matter of fact, he was on and off the police department several times.
Okay.
But I think during the Roger Swallows.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Roger, that's right.
Yep.
See, every time I think of Roger, he was chief down Wilmore, but he was here too.
Yeah. Him and Daddy were big buddies, and Daddy was off the. He either quit or whatever. Roger got to be chief, and then Eddie went back on the thing. So then after Roger, I guess Roger might have went to Wilmore, might have been what it was, and Daddy got chief in. And I don't know, it was, I don't know how long he was. I was overseas when he made chief, and then.
Did he like it?
What's that?
Being policeman, being chief. Did he enjoy
it? I guess he did. You know, he must have. He did it. I mean, of course, like I say, it was a lot easier than trying to lay brick for a living. And I don't know. You know, a lot of people didn't like him. You know, and sometimes, even I thought sometimes. I'll tell you, right here on Main Street one day, I was one Saturday afternoon back when people used to park all of them down Main Street. And he'd come down there with his ticket book. They'd been fussing about red, you know, people parking, letting the meter go, write tickets. And he didn't care much about writing parking tickets. But so he walked down through there, and it was a car sitting right over here in front of where Martin's used to be.
Yeah.
Wrong in there. And he looked at the car, and you know, he said, I wish I knew who the car said that. It was sitting on the meter, red meter, an hour ago when I come down there. And he looked all around, and a lady was sitting in a car, but two cars behind it, right there looking at him. And he kept looking around and waiting, you know, kind of looking, hoping somebody'd see him. And nobody there did say nothing, come around. So, well, he asked a couple, you know who car then? I said, no. So he started writing the ticket. Well, by the time he got it done and getting like this lady got out of the car, walked up and said, you're not writing me a ticket, are you? He said, is this your car? She said, yeah. He said, well, it's been sitting on a red meter for over an hour. And said, I've stood here 5 minutes hoping somebody. And said, you looked right at me. I seen you. You should have known what I'd done. And he said, no, I'm done started. I'm writing it. You had your chance. You know, all she had done come up there and told him, you know, put a nickel in it or whatever, penny, whatever it was. And he stood there. I mean, he tried to see if somebody would notice him standing there. But they didn't do it. But anyway.
Times were so much different back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know.
And you know, now, there's always been crime.
Yep.
I mean, there was crime in this town as long as there has been in the world. That's just part of it. And nowadays, it just seems like things, you're talking about how you wouldn't have that job. I wouldn't either. It takes special person to do law enforcement. And the stuff that's going on nowadays, somebody said in one of our programs, I don't know if there's more going on or we just hear about it more. I think there's more going on. Yeah. I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both. But back then, it was a dangerous job and things happened. Heck, we had a Ketron, our first... A
Paul
policeman
Ketron.
Killed in the line of duty was back in, what, the 50s?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, 40s maybe. So, yeah, things have been dangerous for a long time. There just wasn't as many people, but things operated so much different back then.
Yep.
You know, that was the time when I'll tell you this quick story. My dad and Buddy Teeter was at the white spot one time,
yeah.
A hole in the wall.
Right
one of the two,
the street,
right down
yeah.
the street. I don't remember which one it was.
I think he's side by side.
One of the two. And Buddy will tell you, and Daddy told the story many times, and Buddy just told it not long ago. They decided to leave. It was about 1 in the morning. And, folks, you didn't do anything but sit in there and drink Cokes and eat hot dogs. I mean, that's all there was to do. They both lived on Union Mill Road. Dad lived out further than Buddy did. Well, Buddy left first, and in fact, I don't remember. It may have been Cooper Wilhoit. I may be wrong, but it seems like that's who it was. Anyway, he took out Richmond Avenue, and this car come behind him, and he said, "Well, that's hired coming right up on my tail." So he just gunned his car and just took out through there flying. And about a quarter of a mile, the car behind him turned his lights on. It was a police car.
Yeah,
he thought it was Dad, but it was a police car. Pulled him over, and he got out. Of course, back then, that's when you could do that. You get out, nobody thought about it. And a few minutes later, he took his license. A few minutes later, Daddy drove by and just kind of waved at him. But the next day, Judge Brumfield, that's before we had district judges. That's when the county judge did all that.
Russell Brumfield.
Buddy went and saw Russell Brumfield, and, you know, I didn't mean to, and that kind of thing. But that just a different time.
Yep.
You could take these kids home. You knew their parents, and it just was different, Mike.
Yep, it sure was. You know, back in speeding, maybe the drunk driving, something, but it wasn't all these drugs and stuff like that in there. You know, one time I asked Daddy if something happened. I said, "Well, why didn't you let him go?" You know, because I knew this guy, you know, his older fella. And he said, "Well, let me tell you about that." He said, years ago, in the night, it was on Broadway. He said his car coming out there kind of weaving a little bit, and of course, back in, they knew everybody in town. And well, he pulled him over, and this guy knew you. And remember the Gully Motel up here on the left?
Well, I've seen pictures of it.
Well,
yes, sir.
About where Shell Station, I think,
yes,
is. And,
yes, sir.
And had a house there and a bunch of little cabins they called him in. And he lived up there. And he said, "Buddy," he said, "if you let me go home," said, "I ain't coming back out." Said, "I was heading home." And Daddy said, "All right." Said, "Now, I'm going to follow you up there." So said he went up there, and he got out and he told me, he said, don't come back out. Go in there and go to bed. Said, "Don't come back out. If I catch you back out, I'm going to take you to jail." He said, "All right, I ain't coming back out." Well, he come back and parked beside him, Peels down here, and here he comes. So he pulled him over and took him to jail. Well, when he got to court, I don't know where he got him, a lawyer or just fought it himself, but they turned him loose. They didn't charge because said he should have never let him go the first time.
So they let him go.
Yeah, so they, you know, kind of.
Almost a double jeopardy type
thing. And told him, said, "You shouldn't have let him go the first time."
Oh, my
so,
goodness.
You know, that broke him from being.
Sure, trying to be a nice
guy.
I've asked this question before on these programs. What's a word you would describe Buddy Hammond?
I don't know. He loved his family. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And he had
And you can say that about this mama, too.
Oh, Lord, yeah. You wouldn't believe what she went through.
Well, knowing some of these people here like I do, I can imagine.
You know her. She said her daddy said that he could live being 120 if it hadn't been for his sons. But he loved kids. He loved kids. And we's down here at this Dairy Freeze down here on Maple, down there. Marie Blair running, I think.
B&B.
Yeah. And,
yeah, that's right.
And we went down when he get ice cream, and we was getting, got there and give them there. They sitting in the car, and there was a little boy wandering around there. And he kept looking, you know, and I heard the horn blow, and I looked toward Daddy Mosby, come over. And I went back over. He said, here, and give me some money. Get that little boy an ice cream. So he hated to see a kid, yeah. You know, that was
–
He did. He like me and everybody. He had his own problems too, but
we all.
But he did love his family, and he loved little kids, and you know, and you know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of people that didn't like him and the way he operated. But if you was on the end that you needed help, he's the one you wanted to show up. That's about the blunt of it.
Well, I appreciate you. We've talked a long time.
Oh, Lord,
people are going to get an expanded version of it. It's very interesting because you got to think, folks, this family been around here for a long time, and they've contributed a whole lot. When you've got especially this many children, they've contributed in a whole lot of different ways, and there's a lot of ties out there. You start looking at, we was talking about family trees earlier, if you want to be serious and really start looking at the connections to different families in this community, you guys are tied to just about as many as anybody. But you've always been very productive in our community and still are doing some great things. But I appreciate you coming in, telling us a little bit about the Hammonds and telling us about your mom and dad and a few stories that you hooked me on. That's okay.
Well, I thank you very much.
My thanks to Mike Hammond for coming in and sharing information about the Hammonds family and his dad, Buddy. We appreciate you coming in also every Saturday. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock right here on Jess FM. Hey, don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning also. Great music for you, get you up and going from 6 to 8 on Jessamine County's own radio station, 105.9 Jess FM.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.